Welcome back to Bite-Sized Breakthroughs, the podcast that breaks down cutting-edge research in digestible chunks. Today, we're diving deep into the world of graph neural networks, or GNNs for short. Joining me is Dr. Paige Turner, a leading expert on GNNs and the lead researcher behind this fascinating paper, and Professor Wood Spectrum, a renowned figure in the field who will be providing us with valuable context and insights. Paige, thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here, Alex. I'm excited to share this research with your listeners.
And Wood, thank you for lending your expertise to this discussion.
Always happy to contribute, Alex. GNNs are at the forefront of graph learning, and understanding their capabilities is crucial.
So Paige, let's start with the basics. What are graph neural networks and what makes them so important?
Great question, Alex. Imagine data not just as isolated points, but as interconnected nodes in a network. That's where GNNs come in. They excel at analyzing and learning from this interconnected data, capturing the relationships between nodes and their features. Think of social networks, biological interactions, even molecule structures. These are all examples of graph-structured data where GNNs can shine.
And Wood, can you shed light on why GNNs are creating so much buzz in the field right now?
Absolutely. They represent a shift in how we process data. Traditionally, we've relied on methods that treat data points individually. But GNNs leverage the inherent structure within the data, leading to more nuanced and powerful insights. It's like unlocking a new dimension of understanding.
That's a powerful analogy, Wood. Paige, let's delve into your paper's main contributions. What were the key questions you were trying to answer?
We were primarily concerned with understanding the limitations and capabilities of GNNs. While they've shown great promise, their representational properties, especially their ability to capture different graph structures, haven't been fully understood. So we set out to develop a theoretical framework to analyze this aspect of GNNs.
And that's where the Weisfeiler-Lehmann WL test comes in, right? Can you explain how it relates to GNNs?
Yes, the WL test is a powerful heuristic for determining if two graphs are identical or isomorphic. What's fascinating is that GNNs, in a sense, mimic the WL test's iterative process of aggregating information from neighboring nodes. We explored this connection deeply, using the WL test as a benchmark for GNN's representational power.
Intriguing. So what were your key findings? Were GNNs as powerful as the WL test?
We discovered that GNNs, in general, are at most as powerful as the WL test. This means they cannot distinguish between certain graph structures that the WL test can. However, we also identified the conditions under which GNNs could achieve the same level of discriminative power as the WL test.
Can you elaborate on these conditions?
Certainly. We found that a GNN's aggregation scheme needs to be highly expressive, specifically injective. This means that it must map distinct sets of neighbor features to different representations, ensuring that the GNN can accurately capture the unique characteristics of each node's neighborhood.
That's a crucial point, Paige. Can you clarify what you mean by injective in this context?
Injective means one-to-one. Imagine you have a function that takes a set of inputs and maps them to a set of outputs. If the function is injective, every unique input corresponds to a unique output. In GNNs, this means that different sets of neighbor features should always be mapped to different representations, preserving their distinctness.
So, if a GNN's aggregation scheme is not injective, it might confuse different neighborhoods, leading to inaccurate representation.
Precisely, Alex. This is where things get interesting. We examined popular GNN architectures like GCN and GraphSage and found that their aggregation schemes are not injective. This means they can't differentiate between certain simple graph structures, highlighting their limitations.
Wood, can you provide some context for the limitations of GCN and GraphSage? What are their strengths and weaknesses in general?
Both GCN and GraphSage have been extremely influential in the field. GCN is known for its simplicity and efficiency, using a mean aggregation scheme. This approach allows it to capture the distribution of neighbor features, but loses the detailed multi-set information. GraphSage, on the other hand, employs max pooling, which only considers the unique elements in a neighborhood, further simplifying the information it captures. They've achieved impressive results on many tasks, but Paige's research highlights that their representational power is limited when dealing with more complex graph structures.
That makes sense. So, Paige, how did you address this limitation? Did you propose a new architecture?
Yes, we developed a new GNN architecture called Graph Isomorphism Network, or GN for short. GN is designed to be as powerful as the WL test. We achieved this by using a sum-based aggregator, which allows us to model injective multiset functions, capturing the full multiset information and ensuring that distinct neighborhoods are mapped to different representations. We also used a multi-layer perceptron, which can represent complex functions and is more expressive than the linear mappings often used in other GNN architectures.
This is all very technical. For our listeners, can you provide a concrete example of how GN works and why it surpasses previous models?
Let's consider a simple example. Imagine you have two nodes in a graph, each with a set of neighbors. One node has three neighbors, all with the same feature. Let's call it red. The other node has two neighbors, one with red and one with blue. Previous GNNs with mean or max aggregation might end up representing these two nodes with the same feature vector because they don't capture the precise number of red neighbors. GN, on the other hand, uses the sum so it can distinguish these two cases, accurately representing the difference in the number of red neighbors.
That's a really clear illustration, Paige. So you've developed this powerful architecture, but how did you test it? What experiments did you run?
We evaluated GN on 9 graph classification benchmarks, including bioinformatics datasets like Mutag and proteins, as well as social network datasets like IMDb Binary, IMDb Multi, and Reddit Binary. We compared GN's performance to other GNN variants and state-of-the-art baselines, focusing on both training accuracy and test accuracy.
What did you find? Did GN live up to your theoretical expectations?
Our results strongly confirmed our theoretical findings. GN consistently achieved the highest training accuracy on all datasets, demonstrating its high representational power. GNN variants using mean or max pooling or one-layer perceptrons often severely underfit the training data, showing their limitations. In terms of test accuracy, GN also outperformed all other GNN variants on all 9 datasets, achieving state-of-the-art results. It was particularly effective on social network datasets, demonstrating its ability to accurately capture graph structures even with very basic node features.
That's remarkable, Paige. This clearly shows GN's superiority in terms of both representational power and generalization ability. Wid, what are your thoughts on the implications of these experimental results?
This research is a game changer. It's a testament to the power of a well-grounded theoretical framework. Paige's work not only identifies the limitations of existing GNNs, but also provides a blueprint for building more expressive and powerful architectures like GN. This will significantly impact future research and applications of GNNs.
Of course, no research is without limitations. Paige, what are some of the areas where further investigation is needed?
Excellent point, Alex. Our theoretical framework currently focuses on countable feature spaces, meaning that each node feature can be assigned a unique label. We need to extend our analysis to handle continuous feature spaces, where the number of possible features is uncountable. We also need to investigate other non-standard aggregation schemes, such as attention-based weighting or LSTM pooling, to see how they perform in terms of representational power. Finally, while we explored GN's discriminative power, a deeper understanding of its generalization properties is needed to ensure its effectiveness on unseen data.
These are all very important points. Wid, what do you see as the potential applications of this research in the long term?
The possibilities are truly exciting, Alex. Imagine GNNs helping us analyze complex molecular structures to develop new drugs or design novel materials. GNNs could also revolutionize how we understand social networks, predicting user behavior and improving online interactions. They could even optimize resource allocation in complex systems like power grids or transportation networks. This research is opening the door to a wide range of impactful applications.
That's a compelling vision, Wid. Paige, what are your key takeaways from this research journey?
The journey has been incredibly enlightening, Alex. It's reinforced the importance of theoretical rigor in understanding and improving the capabilities of GNNs. We've shown that seemingly simple choices in aggregation schemes can have significant consequences for a GNN's ability to capture complex graph structures. GIN, with its injective aggregation scheme, demonstrates the power of a well-designed theoretical approach. We believe this work will pave the way for even more powerful and sophisticated GNN architectures in the future.
Thank you both for shedding light on this groundbreaking research. It's clear that GNNs are shaping the future of data analysis, and understanding their capabilities is crucial. Page and Wood, thank you for sharing your insights with our listeners. This has been a truly insightful discussion.